O'Neill Outside on 95.5 WSB. Atlantis News and Talk. For fishing, hunting, or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Well, good morning, boys and girls, from Black Powder Headquarters at the Bojangles Studio. High in the mountains of North Georgia, this is O'Neill Outside, second hour of outdoor conversation. I hope you'll join us this morning. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. It's my pleasure to tell you that this program is brought to you every Saturday morning by Appalachian Gun and Range in Jasper, Georgia. I went there this week to sight in my new Cascade, and I got it bullseyes. Great. Bojangles. Oh, that's the wrong stuff. Okay. Appalachian Gun and Pawn. Works Tools. Real Tree Camo. Stripling's General Store. Tough Shed. CVA Muzzleloaders. Snellville Heating and Air. Teason's Online Apparel. You can buy direct. And a new sponsor, and that's Rocco's Pub. And it's 7.5 minutes after the hour. We're talking outdoors for the next hour, that is. And we hope you'll join us. No politics. Whew, man, what a relief. Gun season is open. The rifle season is open in Georgia. The deer seasons are opening all over the country, and we have some things to talk about like that. Mm-hmm. The 7 Habits of a Mature Buck. Let's talk about that if we can. You can watch O'Neill Outside television on Fox networks all over the country, VOD networks, my goodness, the Hunt Channel and Waypoint TV, and on ad nauseum. O'Neill's been on the air for a long, long time. And the SB Nation from Maine to Seattle, to L.A., and to Miami, and everything in between, WSB and the SB Nation. And we hope you'll join us. Telephone numbers again are 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. We'll have the radio prize package and the Medal of Honor tribute late in the program. That's the highlight of the show, and I hope you'll stick around for that. This is O'Neill. The firearm season is open, and you should take advantage of it. The hunting season has begun, and we'll talk more about that when we return.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit
the
just
more you
right.
Know about whatever it is you're doing, whether it's your employment, whether you're deer hunting, fishing, whatever the case might be, the more you know, the more you understand, the better you can become. That's my prognosis for you and for me, and it's not hard to understand. Here are some of the 7 habits of the mature buck. If you keep these things in mind, not only will it possibly explain why you're not killing anything or seeing anything, it may explain why you are seeing more. So here's some ideas. Bucks regularly search for does within their home range. Why is that? Well, they know all the other bucks in their home range, and unless they're forced to, they don't need to go pick a fight. I have discussed this with some deer biologists in various states, and they tell me, which is be a surprise to you, I think, that is, there are some bucks that don't breed at all. They don't breed. They don't fight. They don't seek out does. Is that a surprise? A little bit. But I know some people like that myself. Bucks feed much less during the rut. If they come into a food plot, they might look around to see if any of the does are in estrus and to see if there's a candidate for breeding. And if it's not, do they stay and eat? Maybe. But they probably venture forth on their regular route to another place where they see bucks, where they see does. Here's something interesting. The mature buck during the rut moves all day. Even more so at midday than he does early and late. Why you suppose that is? Because on most deer leases, deer hunts and wherever, and clubs, you are back next to the campfire with your buddies. Nothing wrong with that. Deer hunting during the middle of the day is a very social occasion. And I'm telling you, you can enjoy the deer season and never pull the trigger. But you'll have an opportunity to pull the trigger if you're in the stand at noon instead of being back at camp. They cruise more then in the rut than they do otherwise. If it's not for the rut, let's think about what the whitetail buck does except during the rut. He's a pretty lazy critter, if you want to know the truth. Other than during the rut, he hangs out with his buddies. He eats and sleeps, and he listens and watches to stay alive. That's all he does. The rut changes everything. During the rut, they spend less time working the rubs and scrapes once the does go into estrus. Why do you suppose that is? Because once he finds a doe in estrus, and here's another, I'll expand on this. Once he finds a doe in estrus, he kind of scoots her off into the woods. He scoots her off into the heavy brush, and he breeds her over and over until she doesn't accept him anymore. He may be in that brush, in that heavy cover, standing there with her for 24 to 36, maybe even 48 hours. That's why, too, you may have spotted a route of a great buck that you're hunting, and suddenly, now you're in the stand, suddenly you don't see him anymore. Where did he go? Did somebody shoot him? No, he's probably with a doe. And they spend 48 hours. I alluded to that. Look, go to the internet. Join up with Realtree Outdoors. They have a wealth of information. 17 after the hour. Now I've been neglecting him long enough. Here's Mac, and he's calling about Lake Lanier and other lakes. Good morning, Mac. What do you say?
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
I'm good. You going to go out and get wet today?
Well, you know, I'm not. I'm disappointed. I was supposed to be in Carabel trying to catch a red snapper today, and this little disturbance coming up in the Gulf altered our plans pretty dramatically there, so there'll be no fishing out there.
No kidding.
I'll be in the office today. But anyway, fishing's been good. I would say better than normal for October, which can be kind of a finicky month. And that's the key. If you're going today, the one thing I'd point out is be prepared to do a lot of different things. Because of the turnover and the conditions come with it, the fish are moving a lot. It changes from day to day. I think today will be a good day to fish with this weather pushing in on us. If you got a good rain suit, you should be able to catch them this morning.
If you can get out of the wind or get on a lee bank somewhere, I bet you'll have some shad on the surface.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. You just got to factor in all that weather, but we're seeing fish all over the lake, so you can ease up in the middle part of the lake where it necks down a little bit. It'll be a little easier hiking that wind as that progresses during the day. But be prepared. I have something tied on the foot of schooling fish. You may or may not see them, but they're up and down so quickly you don't have time to rig for them after the fact.
Oh, yeah, stay rigged, huh?
Be ready, yeah, because they're up and down. If you can get to them, they'll bite. You can catch a lot of fish now without being – you don't have to see them, though. You can just pull up to a little underwater hump and cast the top water over it, and if they're there, a lot of times you can pull them up to the top water. You can fish live bait fishing. It's been good. Down lines, be prepared, though, to fish shallow or deep, depending on where you're at. You're seeing fish really move around up in the water column. And we've got a good trolling bite, and this is going to be big, I think, as the day progresses. If the wind does start beating you up, it's hard to present a live bait. You can catch them with umbrellas, either the little mini-mac small umbrellas or big ones, depending on the depth of what you're trying to do.
Excuse me for interrupting. That mini-mac has really been successful for you, hasn't it?
It has. It's really opened up a lot of doors for casting and trolling. We're finding more and more uses for it every week, it seems like. We started really doing well with it last winter, stealth trolling. Then guys got on it this summer, catching trolling it on lead core or umbrellas. And it's really practical for casting. I've been catching a lot of fish doing what I was alluded to, pull up to a hump, just throw that thing out there and start reeling it real slow. If they're there, they'll usually crush it. And now we got guys going out at night through the lights.
Where can you buy the Mini Mac?
Almost any of the local retailers are having them. If you're around Lanier or Hartwell, if you don't see them there, you can find them online, but we'll tell your retailer to get them. They should have them in stock.
Good deal. All right, well, say hello to the family. Enjoy a day at home. What do you say?
We're going to do that. I got one of my daughters home from school, so I don't want to touch that. So I'm going to have a big day. Get ready for some Bulldog football.
Yeah, the Frogs are playing today.
Frogs are playing some cats. We're going to see how that comes out. We'll
there you go. All right, my good friend, have a great weekend with your family, and we'll hear from you next week.
All right, buddy. Do the same. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks a lot, my good friend. Welcome back. 24 after the hour. I fouled up the last break, but that's okay if everybody will forgive me. I actually do that just to see if everybody else is paying attention. Before we do the radio prize package, let's talk now to Henry because we have something specific to talk to Henry about. Good morning, my friend. What's going on with you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Are you fishing today?
Are you kidding me? What do I look like? You know, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night.
Okay, good. Hey, before we get to anything else, a guy called, were you listening? A guy called early in the first hour, and he's been fishing up in the Northeast, up in Vermont and Maine and all that kind of stuff, and their chosen fly pattern up there is an egg pattern. And he's wondering why we don't use that in Georgia, or do we?
We do. We do use egg patterns. We have, as you remember, the Joe Scandori glow bug from how many years ago?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And you and I fished a Joe Scandori glow bug. I'm saying you and I fished it 15 years ago.
Yes, we did.
And the more popular egg pattern today is called a Y2K.
Oh.
But you want to know something? As good as egg patterns are, there's a pattern for trout. And he's talking about trout fishing, obviously.
Yes.
There's a pattern for trout that is probably even better suited today for anywhere in the country, and it's called a squirmy wormy. And a squirmy wormy is nothing more than a little worm fly, but it's made out of like a rubber, some sort of a rubber material. And the thing, it's unbelievable. It's like fishing. Think of a worm you would fish like a wacky worm on a bass rod. Think of a worm about a hundredth of the size, 100th size smaller, and that's what they use for trout. They're called squirmy wormies, and they're very, very popular.
It seems to me that the last time I did this, that I used that, it was called something else, but it was
it was a San Juan worm.
That's right, San Juan.
That's right. So you know, in the world of fly fishing, and I'll try and relate this to baseball because you're a guy who hit 567, right?
Yes.
Am I correct in the stats?
That is correct, and thank you very much.
See, I do listen to you. Listen to you. Well, so we all are proud of pitchers that throw heat and fastballs and, you know, stuff like that. And then there are pitchers that make their way through the major leagues that are not power pitchers. They throw what you and I call junk. Right? A lot of curveballs, sliders, things like that. Well, when you're fishing flies like San Juan worms and glow bugs and Y2Ks, in the world of fly fishing, we call that junk.
Ah.
So they're junk flies. They're not real. They're not imitating the bug that comes up from the bottom of the riverbed. That's what most anglers And not to take anything away from fishing junk, but fishing junk is, you know, is what people do when they simply have to catch fish,
yeah.
not when they're trying to imitate a specific bug that's coming up from the bottom of the riverbed.
I got you. Oh, I learned so much.
Isn't that something? You learned something on this show.
Yes, indeed.
By the way, trout don't know where they live.
You like that, don't you?
It's in the book. I told you, stripers don't know where they live. It's in the book, I swear to you.
The book will be out next year, right?
It'll be out, yep. We're working on the cover photos right now. So
what's the title of your book, Henry?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it might be something like, why did I take Milton Crab apple fishing? I don't know yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that point. It's probably going to be called Fly Fishing Fresh Waters for Striped Bass. That's something to that effect. But it's not just for fly fishermen. To be honest with you, any angler who likes to striped bass fish in fresh water, be it a river or a lake, this book will serve them well in giving them, you know, the patterns and how to find and fish the patterns throughout the country and on striped bass. And as you know, it's all based on water temperature. So it really doesn't matter, as you always say, where you're fishing. Because the same thing happens in California as it does in Virginia, as it does in Missouri, as it does in South Georgia.
You bet.
Anyway, so I just want to tell you, our fishing, you know, striper fishing on the lake is finally come around. We are now back at it. I was on the lake 3 days this week, and while there is some surfacing fish going on the lake, you can find some groups of fish coming up to chase. The truth is, I haven't found any big groups of fish. While I have friends out there that have, I have not run into them, but I still had a wonderful week. And I want to give a shout out, if you don't mind, to our friend Bill Carson with Johnson Outdoors and Humminbird Electronics, because I must tell you that his Humminbird Electronics has put so many extra bites in my boat, especially early in the fall and late in the spring, because of a feature on there that is proprietary stuff that they have called Lake Master Chart. The Lake Master Chart is a GPS chart that Humminbird comes out with, and contour highlighting allows me to highlight a specific depth range on the lake, and it shows up in another color. And when I tell you right now that the fish are all acclimating to humps that are 20 to 25 feet down, and we have humps on Lanier that are marked and denoted by reef markers, but we have three times as many that are not. His contour highlighting puts every single, I hope you're hearing this, every single hump on the lake shows up in Kelly Green on my machine. So I could be driving and all of a sudden look and see Kelly Green on my machine and go, I didn't know a hump was over there. And we stop and make some casts and we hook fish. I just wanted to give a thank you to Bill Carson and his products, because
good idea.
That Humminbird Electronics has saved the day for me and put extra fish in the boat.
Fabulous. What a great recommendation. Be sure and say hello to Bill from me. He's one of my favorite people.
He's a great guy. All right, buddy. Well, look, we're not fishing today, but we're fishing tomorrow, and then we got a double on Monday, and it just goes on and on and on.
Okay.
So,
all right. Have a good one,
we'll
pal.
We'll catch up with you next week.
You betcha. There we go. All right. Time for the radio prize package. Now, again, the prize package question is not just to bring attention to me or to us. The radio prize package question is one that you probably won't know the answer unless you are a fan or unless you listen to the show. Here's your radio prize package list. A full week of use of the 25 and 50-yard range at Appalachian Gun. Great. I was there this week. It's great. Bojangles gift card, Whitetail Institute DVD about planting food plots, Angler magazine, Georgia DNR Regs magazine, and a hat, a can of Fisher's Choice baits, take a kid fishing, a Thunder Chicken casting float from Mark Noble, a selection of True Turn tackle, and a Swaggerty's coupon so that you can go to the store at Kroger, Publix, and everywhere and use this coupon, get you some Swaggerty's sausage. And the question is, In the opera category, who is O'Neill's favorite operatic singer? Ooh, boy. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. The first caller with the correct answer, and the question will not be reiterated when you call. All you have to do is call and give the right answer, and you win the radio prize package. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255 for the radio prize package. Let me click on this and see if there's somebody in there already. It shouldn't take long. Well, yeah, there's a lot of calls right now. We'll get to the winner in a moment, whomever that is. It's 33 after the hour, and you know something? Have you realized over the next over the last hour and a half, we have not mentioned the president, Alan Schiff, James Comey. We have not mentioned a single politician. Whew. What a relief. 33 after the hour. And one of these guys is going to win the radio prize package. So, let's see. I want to tell you, here's O'Neill has lots of recommendations. I'm sorry, I have them. All right. An idea, two things. Number one, it'd be tough to arrange now, but it would be worthwhile because most of the whitetail rut happens in Georgia and the Carolinas. It happens in November. And in Alabama, it happens in January and February. So you have time to mentor a child for the hunting season. Wouldn't it be great if indeed you mentored a child so that the next time he went back to school on Monday, he had a great hunting story to tell that so few others have. Mentor a child for this hunting season. It can be a relative. It can be a kid in the neighborhood whose dad is not a hunter. A kid in the neighborhood whose mom is a single mom. Mentor a child. You'll get more out of it than he will. I promise. 35 after the hour. You should join Quality Deer Management Association. Otherwise, which is a bunch of scientists, not a bunch of guys standing around a campfire, which is, you will know things like this. Ready? QDMA put bigger antlers on some bucks. They fashioned bigger antlers on some bucks and found out that the buck with the largest antlers was more welcome by the does. Surprised? They proved it. Here's something. Okay, we have a winner, everyone, and I'll get to that winner when we get back. It's 36 after the hour, so I got to get out of here in a few seconds, and we'll get to the winner on line one in a moment. So you can continue to call, but you can cease calling about that because somebody has already won it. Whitetail fawns, you've heard it so much, and I'm leaving in a few seconds. Whitetail fawns have no scent. You've heard that before, haven't you? That's not true. That's how the doe locates her fawn. That's how she finds that fawn, where she's put him in the brush and she goes to eat. Okay? Interesting, isn't it? Find out by joining QDMA. Answer to the radio prize package when we return. Get to the answer of the radio prize package question. Listen for about 10 seconds. So let's get to the answer of the question. And the question for the radio prize package today was, who is O'Neill's favorite operatic singer? And for that answer, let's go and chat with Beverly. Good morning, Beverly. You're on O'Neill Outside. Welcome.
Good morning to you, Mr. O'Neill. I am so thrilled to speak with you, sir.
Well, you're very kind. Have we spoken before on the show?
Never.
Well.
Never. I've lived in the state for a couple of decades and listened to your voice, and it's the first time I've ever called.
Well, you're a fan. Well, automatic.
Well, and automatically a fan because I'm a big Fisher girl, too.
There you are. Good to hear that. And the answer to both is, who was the singer that you just heard?
Well, you have impeccable taste in music. That would be Luciano Pavarotti.
Yes, indeed. He died, what, 8 years ago now?
7 or 8, just something like that.
Yeah, something like that. He was my favorite. And I can always tell when it's him versus someone else. So,
yes, sir. Always stands out. No question.
You bet. Well, you've got a nice prize package headed your way.
I am just tickled to death. Thank you so very much.
So be sure and go to Kroger or some store and get you some of that Swaggerty sausage. That's what I have on Sunday mornings.
You mentioned that, and I realized I was hungry. It sounds pretty good right now.
There you go. Thank you for participating in the show and calling and listening, Beverly. Thank you very much.
You're a gentleman as well. Thank you for what you do for all us outdoors people.
Thank you very much. You're very kind.
Have a beautiful day, hon.
You bet. You too. There you are. Now let's try, before we get to anything else, let's try Greg is calling on O'Neill Outside. It's 42 after the hour. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Mr. O'Neill. How are you doing this morning?
Lovely, lovely.
We are on our way. I know you keep saying something about not going to the lake this morning due to the weather.
Uh-huh.
However, we're going.
Good for you.
We have implemented our travel softball team,
uh-huh.
And we have created have a tournament this morning on Lake Lanier.
Oh, boy.
So we're taking kids fishing, and we're doing a tournament for softball to help raise money at the same time.
Fantastic.
You said something a while ago about taking a kid fishing, and I thought, you know what? There's no better time than spend time with your kids every day.
And whether they get soaking wet, or whether they catch a fish or not, they will remember this trip forever.
You're not kidding, and that's what we're excited and we're ecstatic about what's going on today. Whether it's going to rain or whether it's going to be a great day, it's always going to be a great day with a kid.
You betcha. Glad you called, Greg.
Take care.
Good luck to you. There we go. That's good. What a great call that was. Now, Dylan is calling. Let's go ahead and do this one, too. Dylan is calling from Lawrenceville on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Dylan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I had a question.
Good morning, Dylan.
About hunting in the rain.
Okay. Need to turn your radio down, if you can.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Hunting in the rain.
Yeah. Is it better to hunt in hardwoods or open field?
Hardwoods, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because very rarely I get to hunt in the rain.
Yeah. Dylan, I say that because, you know, if it might be 2% different by hunting in the hardwoods than hunting in a food plot or on outside. I have noticed before that deer, they will bed down more often in the rain. And if they bed down, they'll bed down in the brush and the cover than they will in an open field.
Okay.
So your opportunity might be just a tiny bit better.
Okay.
So are you going today?
Yes, I'm on the way right now.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Are you in a stand or are you covered?
I'm in a stand with a top on it.
Oh, boy. Well, good. You can make it last longer.
Yep.
You bet. Hey, call me back next week. Let me know how you do.
I will.
Mighty fine. You bet. See you soon. Now let's have our intro, please, Jason, for the Medal of Honor. Can you round that up right quick?
I believe.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Salvador Junta, Staff Sergeant, Afghanistan, 2007. While conducting a patrol as team leader, Junta and his team were navigating through harsh terrain when they were ambushed by a well-armed and well-coordinated enemy force. While under heavy fire, Junta immediately sprinted forwards into cover and engaged the enemy. Seeing that his squad leader had fallen and believing he had been injured, Specialist Junta exposed himself to rifle fire and raced toward his squad leader, helped him to recover, and administered medical aid. While doing so, rifle fire struck his body armor and his secondary weapon. He was under fire. Without regard to the ongoing fire, he engaged the enemy before prepping and throwing grenades, using those explosions for cover in order to conceal his position. Attempting to reach additional wounded fellow soldiers who were separated from the squad, he and his team encountered a barrage of enemy fire. Junta then realized that another soldier was still separated, through his own initiative, he crested the top of the hill, Junta did, and saw two enemy carrying away an American soldier. Do you suppose he was fired up from that? Well, when he realized the soldier was separated, he crested the top of the hill. He immediately engaged the enemy and killed them both and rescued the soldier. He engaged them and killed them, and upon reaching the soldier, he began to provide medical aid as his squad caught up with him and provided security. His unwavering courage, selflessness, and decisive leadership while under enemy fire were integral to his platoon's ability to defeat the enemy ambush and recover the American soldier. Salvador Junta, Sergeant, U.S. Army, Afghanistan, 2007. And as far as I can tell, he's still alive. 48 after the hour. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. That is the high point of all of our conversation, if you will. We make it the high point as often as we can. And permit me, many of you have heard this story, but permit me a moment because it's important, I think, for you to know why we have the Medal of Honor tribute. It was about 6 or 8 years ago that a very popular and very good entertainer drowned in her own bathtub at a hotel because she had been using cocaine and other drugs. That was too bad. She was a terrific entertainer. The flags were flown at half staff in the state of New Jersey. And I thought, wait a second. You run the flags at half staff for a druggie who drowned in her own bathtub, but yet you have Medal of Honor recipients and no one knows their name. That's why we do that. 404-872-0758-100. 972-82554. O'Neill Outside. Now in, gosh, this is terrible, isn't it? Now in its 28th year on the air. And permit me, because I have a moment or two, a lesson, if you will. You know, it's about O'Neill. What can I tell you? I had the idea for this radio program back in 1990.
or something of that nature. And I telephone WGST Radio and WSB with the idea of the radio show. WSB never returned my calls. And when I would tell you that if you don't return my call, it's not because you did not return one call. It's because you didn't return 20 calls. I don't ever give up. But WSB did return my call. And I went to see an awfully smart fellow by the name of Eric Seidel. And Eric gave the opportunity. He started Clark Howard, Neil Bortz, Walter Reeves, me, and other people. I went to see Eric, and I pitched him the show. He said, I'll check it out with my people, and you get back to me. I did. And upon my next visit, he said, we don't think a fishing show will work. We don't think an outdoor radio program will work, so I must say no to you. In typical fashion, and it can be a lesson for you if you're a youngster, don't give up. I told Eric, in a friendly way, you're wrong. It will work. Fishermen and hunters are very verbose. They love the stories. They love to hear the stories. They love to tell the stories. And it lasts a lifetime. I said, Eric, sir, I'll give you a chance to change your mind and I'll be back in touch. I never leave one appointment without arranging the next appointment. I returned upon my prescribed time. And I remember he was at his desk with his hands folded, looking over his half glasses. Suddenly, he put his hands up in the air and he said, I give up. You can start next week. And Gail and I started visiting WGST Radio in Atlanta at 5 p.m. in the afternoon on Sunday. I had one sponsor, Georgia Power Company. We made a grand total by driving all the way downtown and doing a two-hour radio program. We made $15. But it started O'Neill Outside, and at the time it was called The Great Outdoor Show. Is that a lesson for you in business and in your personal life? I hope you'll permit me for talking about myself for a few minutes. But I do it because it is a lesson. It is an encouragement. You got your sights set on something? Don't ever give up. If you know you're right, you find a way to make it work. This is O'Neill. I'll be back.
Sun began to dim. I felt that winter wind blow cold. A man learns who's there for him, and the glitter fades and the walls won't hold.
We've got a couple of minutes for some crass self-promotion, so indulge me a moment. You can listen to O'Neill. You can listen to this show and O'Neill's other podcast by going to iTunes, Apple, Google, SoundCloud, Waypoint TV, and on and on and on. So tune in if you will. Right now, this show is live on Facebook, and it will air on Facebook throughout the week. Visit there if you can. Visit O'NeillOutside.com website. At the bottom of the home page on the website, you will see a promotion and the information for a cruise. Next June, O'Neill and already about 25 people are going on a cruise. We're headed from Seattle up the Lynn Canal to the glaciers and the mountains, and we've done this cruise before. It is fabulous. It is the best cruise I've ever been on. We've done it two times. Make your reservations now. You can cancel later, but make your reservations now, because what you will want, if you can,
is a balcony suite, a balcony room, because the views are spectacular. It's our cruise next June to Alaska. Please make arrangements to go if you can. I guarantee you it'll be worthwhile. And don't wait. You need to get one of these balcony rooms if you can. The windows are great, but the balcony room is where it's at. It's 59 after the hour. Thank you for joining me today, those of you who called, those of you who won radio prize package, those of you who listened to O'Neill's self-promotion. I thank you for that. And all of you who called, you make O'Neill Outside the show that it is. And if you're too busy to go fishing and take a kid along and mentor a child through the hunting season, you're entirely too busy. I'll see you guys next week.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through,
the whole day,
just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on.